Again, happy Mother's Day to mothers. And mothers, I would like to ask a question, personal question, that you may want to answer by yourselves. What is it that you want to leave behind as legacy being a mother to your children? What is it that you want your children to remember from you? Children, or every one of us, all of us may have mothers. Some of you may have been orphaned, but I hope that you have mother figure to remember. Do you wish to share your unforgettable childhood experience with your mother? What is it that you remember most about your mother? Think about your mother. What is it? What is it that you remember? Remember the delicious food you prepare every time you have your birthday? Remember the time when you were so lonely and your mother was just there sitting beside you, saying nothing, just sitting beside you? Once upon a time, tranquility, the peacefulness of night was disturbed. Mother was very upset that her daughter came home very late in the evening, and the angry mother scolded her daughter verbally. "Why are you so late? I told you to come home early after school. Where did you go? What did you do? Did you do the things I told you not to do? Why did you not call me? Why are you silent? Why? Why? Answer me. Speak. Answer me." "Mother, I don't have cell phone. I have to work part-time to earn money," the terrified daughter explained. The mother shouted, "Now you've got the nerve to speak, huh? Why? Am I inconsiderate to you? I work very hard to make ends meet, to pay bills, to pay your tuition fee. And you want me to buy you a cell phone? That's luxury." Well, the statement of the angry mother was just fictional. I just made it. But the storyline is very similar to experience of young people who were scolded and not given a chance to explain their side. Have you experienced that? Parents have many problems to face, and most of the time they voice out their frustrations to their children. Just like upset employers, they express disappointment to their employees, they bring their problem to work, the problem at home maybe they had, and they just voice out their disappointment to their employees. Have you experienced that? So for you who are employed, maybe you experience some kind of bad mouthing from your employers, but perhaps that person who had a personal problem back home. I don't know, but those incidents are practical proof that the tongue cannot be tamed, especially when the person is very angry, is very frustrated. Take note, not everyone that a person should that the person says should be taken seriously, especially when the person is very angry or frustrated. Angry voice or not, we need godly wisdom to discern which words are beneficial to our spiritual growth. Now, when the disciples asked the Lord Jesus about the end times, the Lord Jesus warned them. It's a warning for us also. In Matthew 24, verse 4, it says, 4 to 5, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. And truly, if you are able, if you can search online, you can easily search online. It's real. Beware, be prayerful that you won't be enticed or lured. Pray for godly wisdom and understanding. There are several charismatic speakers who claim to be the Messiah. There's one in the Philippines. Sweet words can mislead naive and poison the mind of insensible, oblivious individuals to follow them. Let's read again verse 7 and 8 of our passage. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's restless evil full of deadly poison. Many times we misuse our tongue, but we can use our tongue effectively as instrument to communicate and inform others about ideas we have in mind. We can have this verbal explanation that we can warn others what we like, what we don't like, simply, and we can limit misunderstanding in communication, but it needs us to be very prayerful. If we can say simple words that what we want or what we do not want, that would help listeners to understand what we want them to know. And careful statement can be productive. Sometimes what comes out of our mouth is not very pleasant. Have you observed that? Have you been very careful in what you want to say all year round? We need the Lord to help us use our tongue eloquently to bless others and not to damage even our reputation. Sometimes we feel sorry when we say something we did not intend to say, especially when we are frustrated, when we are angry. With our tongue, we can testify actually about our transformation, the transformation that the Lord has done in our life. If that would be something that we would like to say every now and then, and practice to say every now and then a time when the Lord has, perfect time of the Lord comes, it would be very spontaneous for us to say, tell others about the transformation that the Lord has done in our life. And as believers of Christ, there's changes and transformation from old lifestyle to new life in Christ. That should be our practical proof that we sincerely trusted the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Think about that. What is it? What change, what transformation have you experienced personally that you want to share to others? This was me before, this is now, this is me now. Have you experienced transformation of your personality? How about remembering when the time you have received the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Ever since you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, has your attitude been changed? How about your choice of words? Have you observed your mouth to be very thankful more often than before about the blessings the Lord had given you in your life? Now, if you say yes, the next probable question is, have you ever told or shared with others, friends, relatives, acquaintances, office mates, schoolmates, what Christ has done in your life yet? Have you had that experience? If you say yes, it's very great. If you say not yet, what makes you hesitate of sharing the transformation that the Lord has done in your life? What is it that you would say your very reason of hesitation. Were you scared? Were you nervous? I hope you have something to say, but you just hesitate. Well, hesitation to obey the Lord's instruction for us to witness for Christ. If we sense that hesitation, that is a practical proof of reliance to ourselves. We rely upon what we can do to convince others. So pray about that. Pray that the Lord would work in your heart so that you would not rely upon your effort, instead rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. To obey God, to obey His instruction, to obey His mandate for us to testify for Christ is work of God's grace. It's the work of God's grace through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works through our lives. He empowers us. Well, the scripture has numerous examples of hesitation to obey God. It's not only us. Even His chosen people, they hesitated. Who was the greatest leader of Israel? Trivia. Who was the greatest leader of Israel? Moses. Moses. Moses was the greatest leader of Israel. But before Moses became greatest leader of Israel, the Lord instructed him. He told him, Moses, yes, Lord, return to Egypt. Why, Lord, lead the Israelites out of the Egyptian slavery? No, Lord. Why? God told him to lead the Israelites out of the Egyptian slavery, but he hesitated. He did not obey at first. He had a very good reason to not obey, that he cannot obey the Lord. He explained his inadequacy, why he cannot obey the Lord. I'm not a very good preacher. Perhaps you would say that in our generation, but he said in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 to 11, or 10 to 12, I should say. Let's read. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouth? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight and makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Now, Moses personally knew he was not very articulate in his speech. He may have remembered the time when he tried to help the Israelites, yet the Israelites did not listen to him. He wanted to be their leader at first because he sensed his calling to be the leader of the Israelites, yet the Israelites did not listen to him at first. But still, the Lord chose him to lead the Israelites out of the Egyptian slavery. Why? God knows. He knows that Moses was not competent. He knows that Moses would hesitate. He knows that Moses would remember the time when the Israelites did not listen to him. He knows the reason of Moses. He knows Moses needed help. So he chose him to free the Israelites, to show his grace and his mighty power. And he promised to help him speak. I'll help you speak. He promised to teach him words. I will give you the words to say so that you may convince the Israelites. So that is one thing to remember. We are instructed to witness for Christ. Why is it that God calls us when we are not very articulate in our words like Moses? Why is it that the Lord wants us to tell others the transformation that He has done in our life when we are so introvert We don't like to speak to crowd. We just like to speak to our friends, to our relatives, and even to our relatives and friends. We just cannot say the right words at times. Why? We may have alibis, valid alibis, of not obeying the Lord. He knows our inadequacy. He knows our incompetence. But He wants us to help others, potential believers, to be freed from slavery of sin, just as He has freed us from the slavery of sin when we trusted in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Lord can enable us, can enable you to reach out, tell about the gospel of Christ to individuals. He already prepared to believe. The person that the Lord wants you to tell the gospel of Christ, He already prepared to listen to what you say. Do you still hesitate to obey the Lord? Are you still hesitant to lead possible believers to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Moses was hesitant, but eventually he obeyed and he became the greatest leader of Israel. How about that? The great things that the Lord had done in the life of Moses, it serves as practical illustration that God had already prepared great things as reward to obedient believers. Think about that. Can you accept that? Can you believe that God had already prepared great things for you? Pray for increase of faith. Thus, if we accept our inadequacy, our incompetence, if we accept that we are not competent enough to share others our testimony, be prayerful. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. The Lord enables us to explain the gospel. I don't know how to explain the gospel. Now, the Lord would enable you to remember the preaching you might have been listening to, or the words, His words in the Bible. Pray. Potential believers will understand, even if you explain it very simply. They will believe in God because the Lord had already prepared them. Pray for increase of faith and trust that God is conscientiously gracious. The Lord understands our incompetence. He knows that we hesitate. He will provide the right words that may convince our listener. He already prepared potential believers to listen attentively to our testimony. And He will also sustain, He provides essential things we need. And we can follow His instruction with cheerfulness of heart. Wait for that signal, that enthusiasm from the Lord. Listen attentively. Moses hesitated because he never imagined the Israelites will ever listen to him. Just think about that person that have been na ikaw ay naiinis sometimes dahil palagi kang kinukulit. You don't know why are you so irritated when that person comes to you often. Do you know that person? Do you have a person who would come to you often? Even if you are not very kind to that person will still come to you. Why? It could be that the Lord had been preparing that person just for you to testify. So pray about that. They are observing you. Moses, after he willingly obeyed the instruction of the Lord to lead the Israelites out of the Egyptian slavery, he personally experienced great miracles. Similarly, you would experience that miracles that the Lord wants to show His grace and power. And Moses became the greatest leader of Israel eventually. I don't know if you would become great leader of Winnipeg, of Canada, of Manitoba, of the church. I don't know. This morning I was just watching. Hands here, leading, singing. The year we came here, they followed. And then we saw a very small child like those children trying to memorize or telling us those ABC letters that were on the foyer. What's that? Somebody asked. A, B, C, something like that. I cannot remember, but there were letters there. And I was smiling. This is very little child, very bebo. And now, look at these children. 12 years from now, 10 years from now, they will be standing here. How about us? 12 years from now, 10 years from now, what would God do in our life? Can you strongly accept that the Lord's instruction to witness for Christ includes blessing that we can never dream or imagine? One day, you will be saying, no, I don't want to be that, but just pray. Pray, Lord, what is it that you have prepared for me? Pray to be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit until you sense that hesitation will be gone. No hesitation in your heart. Don't go out because the pastor said, go and tell your transformation to others. No, don't do that yet. Pray, wait upon the Lord until that you sense that enthusiasm. And you will not say, it's because the pastor said so. It's because you were so willing to tell others that the Lord had already transformed you. There will be cheerfulness and willingness to obey the Lord when the Lord, the Holy Spirit, empowers us. Listen, enthusiastic obedience to the Lord will produce gratitude and praise of heart. You will be glorifying God. You will be praising the Lord because you experienced that. Let's read again verse 9 and 10 from our passage. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. That's very simple to understand. Cursing comes very natural to many people, but praising the Lord, this is transformational work of the grace of God in our life. If you've been driving, if you're going to work, if you're doing something at home or an office, and you're humming or singing songs that you've been listening from church worship services or from Christian radio stations or from your favorite TV show, maybe, it's the word of the Lord. If you sense that, pray and thank God, Lord, thank you for this. I like this. Continue to let it grow stronger, burn warmer in your heart. It is something different. Probably your old lifestyle, every time you speak, you did not mind at all. You were not thinking what you would like to see, if you curse or not. You do not mind. There was this town in northern Philippines. Every time they speak, the end of their sentence is curse word. And that curse word is very acceptable to the community, that everyone would say it after they say something. Even if they are very thankful, they say that curse word. Even when if they are angry, if they are happy, they say that curse word because it was very acceptable to the community. Let's ask ourselves this basic question of transformation. Let's check the box if you would like. Do we have faith in Christ? Check. Do we believe that the Lord has taken all our sins and crucified them with Christ? Check. Do we believe that our old self was buried with Christ and we resurrected to new life in Christ? Check. Have we born again to new life in Christ? Check. Have you checked all those boxes? If so, praise God for the transformation that He has done in your life. Do you sense that praising and worshiping in your heart right now? Now, there should be practical manifestation. There should be practical proof of transformation to new life. What is it? Do you still curse? Or do you already hate it when you unknowingly swear or use profanity? How I should not say that. Now, if you desire to stop and not use curse words completely, pray that the Lord show His mighty power and remove cursing, profanity and bad words from your mouth. Pray. Even from the heart, even from the mind completely. Pray that the Lord remove them. And that would be something, and you can observe that in your family. Pray. The natural person would just say something, even if they don't mean it, the curse or not. They just say something. But if you ever hated cursing or hated saying something you do not like to say, then pray about that. It's time you unmindfully use curse words. Keep praying sincerely. Keep praying, Lord, that again it comes out of my mouth. Remove it, Lord, remove it. I don't like that word anymore. Pray also that thankfulness and praise will naturally come out of your mouth, in your mind, in your heart, so that when praise and thankfulness prevail in your heart, eventually those curse words would not, those profanity, swearing words would not have place in your life. Someone advised that if you want to praise God, read the book of Psalms. Just read one chapter a day or five chapters a day. Keep reading every day. If you read from chapter 1 to 150, then read again until it will become natural for you to praise and thank God. But even after that, it is great to read the book of Psalms. Now listen to this. If you were unpopular, who among you are very popular in school? Maybe some of you, many of you. But for you, in your mind, you were unpopular. You were irrelevant. You were just simple and ordinary person that neighbors, friends, never mind. You were just never mind. And then your life has been changed. You've got a lifestyle you never dreamed or imagined. Will you not be thankful and praise God? Will you thank God and praise Him? If you acknowledge Him as the source of all the good things that you are experiencing in life. Someone in the Bible, King David, before King David became king of Israel, he was just a very simple, ordinary shepherd boy. Nobody cares about him. He was irrelevant to his brothers. His brothers were just popular. They were soldiers, so when they come home, here are the soldiers. When they come home to their small town in Bethlehem. But David, when he comes home, hey, David, how's the sheep? How's the sheep? Can you bring some of those lamb and we can have pulutan? Perhaps they would say, the soldier brothers. He was irrelevant. He was ordinary shepherd. But he just trusts and praised God anyway. Then at the perfect time, opportunity test his faith. It came when he faced the giant Goliath. His life had been changed and transformed after that. David recorded his personal experience in Psalm 40, verse 1 to 5. Let's read this. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out from this slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Wow. If you can just think of that when the Lord, when David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. When perhaps his older brothers have been bullying him. He was the youngest and he had other seven brothers. Now that's very tough, right? You have seven brothers who would bully you, not to mention your older sister. At least perhaps his older sisters were so kind to him. I don't know. But if you read through the story of David, you can sense that he did not had a very good childhood experience. So when he wrote this, he did not mention, I waited patiently for the Lord, turned to me and heard my cry. Nobody said that David was crying, but he himself said, the Lord heard his cry. Maybe he cried when he was alone in the wilderness, pasturing the sheep. And then he learned how to play harp. He was a good player. The book of Psalms are told that they are songs of praise and other kinds, songs of prayers. So if the book of Psalms had been accorded or named after David, it could be that David had full of praise in his heart. Well, there are many unfulfilled expectations that may cause us disappointment. There are many failure of supposition that may spark discouragement. There are a number of dreams and promises in life that may provoke frustration. Undesirable things may happen anywhere, anytime. Just read the news. Every day there's bad news. What else can worsen a day? Even before David became king of Israel, David chose to praise, to practice his faith in the Lord, to praise the Lord. Patiently waited for the Lord, for God's perfect timing. Wait upon the Lord. Pray. Lord, fill me, empower me. Pray, fill me, empower me. If you can remember that and pray for that every day, fill me with the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Just keep asking. Asking for wisdom is free. The Lord would not see, find fault in you. You ask for it, He would give. He would not say, oh no, you are not worthy. He would not say that. He would not. He would just freely give you so that you, with wisdom, we will be able to see His grace, the work of His hands, and praise Him and thank Him all the days of our lives. Waiting patiently for God's perfect timing was practical manifestation of the work of God's grace in the life of King David through the Holy Spirit. Praising God evoked his confidence upon the Lord. Sing songs. Memorize 1, 2, 3 songs you may sing every day, even if you are not good singers as our singers have. Even if they are not very good, you don't have that good voice they have. The Lord does not say, yeah, you have bad voice. No. When you praise, every voice would be very nice to His ears. The Holy Spirit inspires praise of God, and the Lord Jesus exemplified it. In Luke chapter 10, verse 21, it says, at the time Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Now that's one thing to remember. When the Holy Spirit bear fruit in our lives, bear fruit of love, joy. If you have that joy, there's praise that comes out of our mouth. Praise is practical exhibit of gladness that originated from the Holy Spirit of God. And as children of God, as believers, we are children of God. As children of God, we can experience much gladness of heart. How? We follow the command of God when empowered by the Holy Spirit. Wait for that empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and you will obey the commands of God. And then blessings are added. And that, remember the Lord, if we obey godly instruction with enthusiasm, it results to gratitude and praise of Him. You know that it's the Holy Spirit who enables you to obey Him. When you obey the Lord, there's praise and thankfulness in your heart. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 27 says, with regard to your former way of life, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in attitude of your mind, and to put the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully. Pray that this is something that I am not very, I don't enjoy it listening to. When somebody would say, would promise something and don't do it, and repeat it again, promise and say something and don't do it, I'm counting many times. That's one, that's two, that's three, that's four, that's five. Now I don't believe you anymore. That's very tough, but we can speak truthfully by God's grace, amen? Godly command can be done with the help of God. When it says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully, that's godly command. But by God's help, we can do it. Again, if we claim to have faith in Jesus Christ, make sure that we experience practical transformation. Make sure of that. We must completely abandon our former way of life And we must give up profanity, cursing, swearing. Cursing and swearing can pollute the mind, can poison the mindset. Pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that instead of cursing, it should be praise, it should be thankfulness. Remember the goodness of the Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit produce cheerful attitude of obeying Him. Lord, let my heart be a testimony of cheerfulness. Pray for that. It would be very pleasant to you even when the Holy Spirit produce fruit in your life. Let's read again verse 11 to 12. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can fig tree bear olives or grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. All Christians, we certainly go through challenging process of transformation. Transformation is not very pleasant. It's sometimes, I don't know how to explain this. Let me try in Tagalog. Transformation, parang nakikiliti na masakit. Parang ganun ang experience. Have you had your nails removed? Have you experienced that? Don't try to remove your nails. Back in the countryside, when we go to the river, we carry stones, rocks, heavy enough. And sometimes, maniipit yung kuko, di ba? Or ikaw ay nagkakarpintero, napukpok mo yung kuko, and then that nail would be removed. And then it will start to grow. That's something. If you experience that, if you touch it, there's the sensation, painful sensation that you would experience, and you don't like that to happen again. You would remember that and not hurt your toes again. Some such kind of transformation, sensational, painful experience of transformation from old lifestyle to new lifestyle would be experienced. But when we are transformed, when our former way of life is transformed to new life in Christ, there's this something, we like it. We don't want to quit. Former way of life is gratifying to old self, to the flesh. It corrupts, poisons our mindset, and it may still pressure us to participate some way or another. But we should not gratify our old self. Here is a timely test. This is a sensitive issue that I would like to help you sense from yourself if we are still controlled by our former way of life or no more. You have social media account, and it could be flooded with political ads regularly, different kinds of color of politics, different political colors, political groups. They are very active in promoting their favorite candidates. There are opposing groups that may try to expose weaknesses from rival political colors, political groups. And still, there are advertisements of false narratives to discourage undecided and naive voters. Question. How did you respond? Did you share? Did you forward advertisement of your preferred candidate? Did you add your comment in support to your political color, political leaning. How did you react when you read false narratives, unproven narrative against your favorite candidate? Were you angry? Many Christians openly explained they would clarify their political stance. This is what I believe. This is the candidate I want to vote. And they argued. They tried to convince others to follow their personal conviction. Spending much time in social media in this time of politics can pollute the mind and mindset of the naive and foolish. So be prayerful, be sensible. Pray that your testimony as believer, even in social media, will not be tarnished, will not be destroyed, while you may encourage others to decide prayerfully when they elect leaders. But how can we avoid? How can we escape worldly influence? Apostle Paul advised us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 17. Let's read meditatively. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Again, godly commands requires godly guidance. This is not easy to understand, but it is with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Here's a challenge. If you've been active promoting your preferred political leaning, political color, pray that the Lord will give you similar, more activeness in promoting God's mission purpose in your life. If this is how much time you spend in your political leaning, pray that you can spend similar time promoting the mission purposes of the Lord in your life. If you are not interested in politics, Pastor, I don't have any leaning. I don't. Well, if you don't care at all who may win the election, pray that God will give you godly wisdom. And pray that God will give godly wisdom to whoever may win. Whoever will win will rule. So we cannot do anything about that. But we pray that God would give wisdom. Election in the Philippines is happening right now. Election in Winnipeg will happen in few months. Election in United States is also happening. Pray for that. Whatever may win in the United States, here in Winnipeg or in the Philippines, all of us will be affected if you are going there. To places like that, you will be affected in a way. So pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. You don't like to go to the Philippines and then laglag bala ang jacket mo. Right? You like something that you would, when you travel, it's so good, so great. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, let's read together. Meditatively, let's read. That petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of that truth. Now, that is something to remember, even the worst politician, the Lord wants to be saved. So pray. It could be that if you spark a prayer and others would continue, join you in praying even for the worst politician. Here's something to pray for. Three P's, PPP, not politics. Pray for godly wisdom for authorities to promote peace, say peace. Prosperity, say prosperity. And praise God. Peace, prosperity, and praise. Pray for that. Peace, prosperity, and praise. Praise of God. Pray for that. That the authorities who would be ruling would have that godly wisdom to promote peace, to promote prosperity, to promote praise of God. Shall we stand up? And let's offer this time to pray for peace, prosperity, and praise would come to the mind of the politicians, especially for those who would be winning the election. Let's bow down and say a prayer.